This is a podcast from the Australian Securities Exchange and is part of the range of ASX education services. The information provided is for education purposes only and is not intended to include or constitute financial product advice. You should obtain independent advice from an Australian Financial Services licensee before making any investment decisions. Keep learning with our free online courses, share market games and investment newsletters at asx.com.au.
Hi, I'm Roger Montgomery from the Montgomery Fund. A lot of investors ask me what I do with my own money and where I invest it. Well, most of my investments, of course, are in the equity market, but outside of that, I'm always looking for unusual and interesting opportunities that can provide a very high rate of return. One investment I made recently was actually in the property sector. Now, given everything that I've said recently in the press about property, you might be scratching your head thinking, what on earth is Roger doing? The property investment that I made, however, was in an unlisted property trust run by Australian Unity, and this particular trust owns hospitals. One of their customers or one of their tenants is Ramsay, with 23-year leases on some of the properties. So it seems like a really stable investment. In fact, it really is stable. Even through the GFC, over the last 15 years, the volatility of this particular investment class has only been about 3%. The running yield on the investment was closer to 10%, and shortly after I invested, I realised that the property portfolio appeared to be undervalued. The fund then closed to new investors, and more recently, they've revalued those properties a couple of times to the tune of about 10%. So I'm really pleased with that particular investment. Another investment, and I use investment with inverted commas, was in some fine art, and I'm pleased to say that I missed out on this particular one. Max Dupain is a very famous photographer, and his Sunbaker image is almost iconic. Taken in 1937, Moss Green believed that they would sell that particular original silver film photograph for between $20,000 and $30,000. I attended the auction and stopped bidding at about $60,000, and it sold for $85,000, excluding the buyer's premium, which if you add on, it went for more than $100,000. I'm glad I missed it. It tells me we're at the top of a market for luxury goods and artwork, and I suspect we'll be able to buy some things like that at much cheaper prices very soon. The questions on everyone's lips at the moment is, what's going to happen next and where are we going to find growth? Before we address those questions, let me say this. It matters not whether you're a 25-year-old university graduate or a 75-year-old retiree. You have to approach the stock market the same way. You have to find high-quality businesses that have the opportunity for growth. And this is because you need to preserve purchasing power. Companies that fail to grow, Telstra for example, whose first half 2016 earnings were no higher than the 2006 earnings for the first half, offer no growth. As a result, there's no dividend increases, and because there's no dividend increases, there are no income increases for investors. Inflation erodes the purchasing power of that income. So it matters not what age you are, it matters only that you're invested in companies that can be bigger in the future than they are today. And therein lies the challenge. Where is growth going to come from? Debt today around the world is much higher than where it was back in 1981, for example. In the United States, corporate debt compared to GDP is four times higher than where it was 30 years ago. That means the capacity for companies to grow through credit expansion is diminished. Back in 1981, companies had a long runway of credit expansion opportunities ahead. They also had the benefit of productivity increases from the advent of improved telecommunications and the internet. And that doesn't exist today. In Australia, growth isn't only diminished from a lack of credit that's available to companies, but also because of companies' own dividend policies. When a company pays most of its earnings as a dividend, there's precious little retained earnings available to grow the equity of the business. That means there's pressure on companies to increase their prices or increase the volume of sales without reinvestment in order to improve the return on equity. And that's much harder than simply retaining profits and growing the equity base. And so that means companies not only have less credit available to grow, they also have less retained earnings available to grow. This will be a problem not only for companies, but also for the country as a whole. So if companies can't grow through debt expansion because there's no accommodation available, and if they're not able to expand because they're not retaining their earnings, then how can they expand? The answer to this question will have long-term implications for investor returns. You see, the only other option is to raise more equity, but that dilutes your investment in the company, diluting your return ultimately. So if companies aren't going to grow by borrowing more, and they're not going to grow by retaining earnings because they haven't been, shareholders, unfortunately, are going to see low returns going forward, particularly from the main index. If you look at the index today, the ASX 200, it's not much higher than where it was 10 years ago. And I suspect the next 5 years might look very, very similar. So where to next? Where are you going to get high returns? Well, higher returns will have to come from companies that are able to grow. And then, believe it or not, Australia has a very large proportion of companies that are profitable that are in fact generating high returns. Companies like realestate.com.au, that's a business that's going to grow its earnings. Now, you might disagree with me on that. I've publicly declared my view that the property market in Australia is probably going to come off, and ground zero will be apartments. Developers who are oversupplying apartments will find they can't get rid of their apartments at the current price and will have to discount their prices. So it will be developers that push apartment prices down. You might think that's a negative for realestate.com.au. Well, in fact, it's not. It's a positive. A maturing property market means more houses being listed or more properties being listed. It also means they'll be listed for longer because in a mature property market, they take longer to sell. The other thing is that realestate.com.au is going to increase the prices of its highlight ads or its depth listings on July the 1st. And by doing that, it's going to massively increase its revenue. We think the best businesses to own are those businesses that can increase their prices without a detrimental impact on unit sales volume. And realestate.com.au is one of those. Imagine for a moment you had a $30,000 budget to sell your property. 5% of that money goes to realestate.com.au. The rest of it goes to agents and maybe some ads in newspapers. So 5% goes to realestate.com.au. That means that you're only paying about $1,500 for the ad. If they increase their prices by $150, that's not going to change your behavior. So they're going to get not only an increased number of properties listed on their website for a longer period of time, but they're also going to see that their prices, their revenue is going to increase as well. And presumably, when the property market becomes more competitive and it's more difficult to sell, a higher proportion of people listing their properties will use the depth ads, the highlight and the premier opportunities available. So that's one example of a company that's still growing. The final example of a company that's still growing and growing very well is a company called Altium. You may not have heard of it. It's not a very large business, but what it does is it supplies to 10% of the world the software that's required for the design of printed circuit boards, which are used in electronic gadgets all around the world. And of course, their proliferation will ultimately benefit a company like Altium. So growth is going to be hard to come by. Returns from the broad indexes will be low, and the only way you can beat the index is to find companies that are growing, and I've just given you two. I'm Roger Montgomery, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.